Focus Football. Today is Tuesday, August 9th. My name is Daniel Dobbs. Today's podcast is brought to you by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. I am here joined by Mike Clay to my right. A very handsome Field Yates to Mike Clay's right.
Hey. Thank you. Wow.
Guys, I want to... What about me?
I mean, yeah.
I'm just here. He's handsome. What am I?
Could have put a little bit more effort into it today. I mean, what do you want me to say, Mike?
I literally have Andy Reid on my shirt, and you're going to disrespect me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, Andrew Reid on my shirt.
Yeah. Andrew Michael Reid.
Yes.
Is his middle name Michael? Do you know that for a fact?
No, I don't. No, I threw it out there. Just threw it out there. What okay. I do know for a fact, though, is that at 10 p.m. tonight, watch party at my house.
Wow, for what?
Hard Knocks, Detroit Lions.
Let's
style,
go.
Baby.
I'm ready.
All right. I'll be there.
Dan Campbell, we got a bunch of, we already got kneecaps in the oven.
Yep.
All right. So we're working on kneecaps early. Okay.
I'm bringing the Miller Lights.
Got a lot of Miller Lights.
Yep. So tons of those.
We're ready for that. And I think between those two things, we're good.
Okay.
Miller Lights,
that's all you
need.
That's
really.
All you need.
Yeah. Great. All right.
Yeah. Sweet. HBO, 10 p.m. Going to be a lot of fun. Today, we are going to do Double Trouble talking about the Chiefs and the Raiders.
Raiders.
The Raiders.
Mike,
can you try that, Mike, real for me?
The Raiders.
No,
Mike, what a crown jewel you are.
It was a low C. I'll give you a C because I want you to pass. But
71.
Started slow.
0 to 100 scale. Yeah. Yep.
All right, let's talk about some news. We got so much stuff to talk about, especially because these two teams in Double Trouble just are full of fantasy value here. But we're going to jump in right now. We're going to talk about some of the news. And right now, coming off the PUP list, J.K. Dobbins, running back for the Ravens. Mike, we have been waiting to see what's going to happen with this running back room. Both J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards have been hurt. They've had ACL injuries coming back, waiting to see what's going to happen this year with him coming off the PUP list. Where are you at on J.K. Dobbins as of today?
I like him a lot, and a big reason for it is his ADP, right? I mean, I've been landing him in 12-team leagues in the fifth round. Mm. He's just been falling. People just aren't super interested in him. Now, I'm thinking maybe it rises now because you know he's off the PUP list, and now there's also some reports Gus Edwards might miss some time early in the season, so that should just mean more of a workload for J.K. Dobbins. But here's the thing. I think this guy could be one of the best running backs in the NFL. Like, you know, we often talk about someone like, say, Nick Chubb, right? Maybe not always an elite fantasy running back, but he's really good. And that's enough to hang on that RB1 radar. I think Dobbins could be in that category. Think about the last time we saw J.K. Dobbins, end of 2020. Mm. That season, he, as a rookie, he led the NFL in yards per carry and yards after contact.
Right.
136 carries, not a huge sample, but he was obviously very explosive, very effective. And he averaged 17.0 fantasy points per game in those last six games. So, yes, he might not have the volume of some other top backs, but he's going to be effective. He's a super athlete. It's going to be a good scoring offense. And they've actually been pretty good to running backs, certainly in the running game, right? They've been effective in that department. So I'm optimistic about him, where he's going in drafts right now.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, is that for people that aren't drafting until the end of August, that the ADP is going to be dramatically different than where it is now. You said the fifth round, it's somewhere around like RB 20 or 21, depending on how recently you have draft for J.K. Dobbins. If you got him 2 weeks ago, you're feeling great about it. I just wonder if things will course correct over the next 2.5-3 weeks, and that maybe things get a little bit too far ahead of where I believe the value is of J.K. Dobbins. I said I want it before our show. I said I want to go last because I want to hear what Mike has to say and potentially pour a little bit of water on it. And Mike and I kind of see it the same way. Is the pros of J.K. Dobbins are that J.K. Dobbins is so good at football. He was a great prospect coming out of Ohio State. He slid to late in the second round, didn't make a whole lot of sense, and he was awesome as a rookie. In his last six games of that rookie season, he had 77 carries for 495 yards. That's 6.42 per carry, and he had 7 total touchdowns. But where Mike alluded to, and where I wanted to make sure that we don't get too crazy on the value of J.K. Dobbins, is during those six games, he had 3 total catches. 3 in 6 games. As a matter of fact, not throwing the football to running backs is not new in Baltimore. Since Lamar Jackson became the starting quarterback in Baltimore, and you can even include the season in which he split duties with Joe Flacco, there hasn't been a Ravens running back with more than 249 receiving yards in a season.
Wow.
That 1 year where we crazy efficiency from Mark Ingram, where he had 5 receiving touchdowns on 29 catches, wound up leading to him being like a borderline top 10 running back. I just think in order for J.K. Dobbins to crack that top 10, he would have to have, I don't know about a historical rushing season, but like, you know, almost like Derrick Henry light. And I wonder if maybe the Ravens, even with him being healthy or at least off the PUP list on August 8th, which was yesterday, this might still be a little bit of a committee this year whenever Gus Edwards gets healthy, and also whenever, and Mike Davis will be a factor as well. So I've got him, I will have him as more of a mid-tier RB2 than like a borderline RB1, which I wouldn't be surprised if some people forecast him that way.
Yeah, that's where I have him too. And I will say this, this time last year, the reports were Baltimore was basically designing plays for him in the passing game, right? So I had him projected around a 10% target share, which isn't high. Yeah. But if he gets a 10% target share and handles 55, 60% of the carries this year in a run heavy, high scoring offense, he's going to flirt with RB1 numbers. And that's definitely in his range of outcomes.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Again, I just the 3.5 year history of Lamar Jackson as a starter suggests that's probably not going to happen. But I would love to see the Ravens passing game evolve. That has been one of the things that's been a criticism of them in recent years. I think a little bit stale with Greg Roman as their play caller.
And one of the other things to think about, just so that we're all aware, Gus Edwards looking more and more doubtful for week one as a part of this. So just as you're thinking about that, make sure that you're keeping an eye on Gus Edwards and where he is at. All right, field. Titans wide receiver Treylon Burks continues to practice with the twos and threes.
So I'm going to start with the Treylon Burks side of this and then get to the point that I wanted to make when I sent this to our group yesterday as a topic I wanted to discuss.
Sure.
I'm trying to tread lightly on the Treylon Burks concerns about him running with the twos and threes and conditioning being an issue during offseason minicamp, because we have seen discouraging reports from really talented players that looks completely foolish about one game into the season, specifically amongst first-round wide receivers.
Yep.
And yes, I'm talking about Jamar Chase.
Yes, he
couldn't catch in August.
The line on the white line on the ball, it's just he can't see it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
He just can't
catch the ball.
He got corrective surgery, and now all of a sudden he had four touchdowns in his first 16 catches as a pro. So I'm treading lightly there. Like, I think Treylon Burks is, like, here's my cold take. He's going to be a good NFL player. But what I also think is fair is that he maybe his acquisition overshadowed that of which a player in which we know who he is. I think there's a case that Robert Woods is the most undervalued player in fantasy football right now. Robert Woods' current ADP amongst wide receivers is 48. That's the 14th round. He's virtually free right now in your drafts. I'm way ahead of ESPN consensus. I have him as wide receiver 34. They traded, meaning the Titans, A.J. Brown this offseason, of course. That vacates a nearly 25% target share. Julio Jones was not good for Tennessee last year, but still, he's also not there anymore. The incumbent wideouts on that Tennessee roster, it's a very, very thin group just in terms of the guys coming back. And if Treylon Burks is going to need some time to get acclimated to the offense, this could be Robert Woods basically job unto himself as the wide receiver one. Yes, it's a run-heavy offense, but you still have to throw the football some. Second of all, Robert Woods is good. Like, I know that the offense he's going to versus the one that he left when he got traded from the Rams is very different. He's just a good football player. He's averaged over 15 fantasy points per game over the past four seasons. Just look at the raw numbers. And I don't always like to touch on the raw numbers because there can be some misleading numbers involved when you look at season-long stats. But his last three full seasons, 86 catches, 1,219 yards, 90 catches, 1,134 yards, 90 catches, 936 yards. I don't know if the Titans will do this, but he had some rushing value as well. I love Robert Woods. I think he's being undervalued in drafts right now. I think he deserves to be much closer to wide receiver 30 than wide receiver 40.
Yeah, so look, as a player, I love Robert Woods as well, but I disagree. I'm not interested. I've tried to convince myself to move him up in rankings that he's getting healthier. He's at practice. Burks is struggling a little bit, but I just can't. It doesn't add up for me for a variety of reasons. I mean, first of all, tore his ACL in November, and now he's 30 years old.
Yep.
You know, how much do we really expect him to be, you know, to take a step forward and be maybe perhaps 100% of what he used to be? And also that the age 30 thing does bother me a little bit. I mean, Kyle pulled a good stat here. Only three receivers age 30 or older even averaged even 10 fantasy points per game last season. Adam Thielen, Marvin Jones, and Cole Beasley. Also, again, you mentioned it, very low volume offense. It's something we've talked about with A.J. Brown, right, where he couldn't really get over the top. As good as he is, maybe a top five talent at receiver in the NFL, couldn't really get into that consistent wide receiver one conversation in this low volume offense. And A.J. Brown scored a lot of touchdowns. Robert Woods is not a touchdown scorer. He is a career high of six at age 30 now. Yeah. So there's a lot of reasons why I just think his ceiling is so low. Maybe he'll flirt with wide receiver three numbers at his ADP. Fine, I guess, but I'm lower than him. I just don't see a path to him being a guy you feel great about starting every week.
Yeah, we see it different, which is fine. That's good. That's healthy. I'm a bigger fan of Robert Woods. Do we do board bets on this show still? Should we make a board bet on this one?
Yeah, we
want to do that.
Why not?
Let's see. Yeah, absolutely. Let's
all right, so I've got him at 34. You've got him at 48. That puts us 14 spots apart, but like, I want to aim a little. How about like
wide receiver
I was going to say, I'll give you 35. Wide receiver 40.
Oh, 35?
No, what? Listen, I'm optimistic here. Like, okay. I think so, and we have to throw the usual caveats in, but like.
Points per game? Total points?
Points per game. Now, if he plays like two games, we can throw this right. draft, this bet out. But I think he finishes. I say this. I say Robert Woods finishes a top 35 wide receiver on a points per game basis this season.
I say Robert Woods finishes outside the top 35 on a points per game basis this season.
Put it on the board! That was pretty good. Ooh, right there.
One
actually.
For one. Yeah. We got that.
All right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I'm definitely taking field side on that one. You're getting a wide receiver one at 48? Come on. All right. Let's talk about one more.
Mike is the Jaguars right now. The only two teams that are winless in the NFL one game.
Wow.
Right,
tough.
We'll see. It is on the board, as they say.
SI.com's John McMullen believes that running back Kenneth Gainwell is penciled in for high leverage situations like third downs, the hurry up offense, and goal line work. I'm curious, Mike. High leverage situations like third downs and goal-like work. Man, Kenneth Gainwell just got a ton of value being the goal line and the pass catching back in Philly, unless I'm reading into this too much.
I'm not buying this.
Okay,
He's going to play a role, right? We don't expect Miles Sanders to play 95% of the snaps, right? There's going to be some Kenneth Gainwell mixed in. We're going to see some Boston Scott here or there. Who knows? Maybe they bring back Jordan Howard for goal line work. It's possible. We don't know for sure how that's going to play out, but you know, first of all, I'm a little surprised by the Gainwell hype, right? I mean, this is a low pedigree, day three pick from last year. Wasn't very good as a rookie. I mean, he scored a bunch of touchdowns. He was over his head. He had a little luck in that department, whereas Miles Sanders had some bad luck. But he faced a lot of light boxes. And we know that running against light boxes is going to lead to an inflation of your efficiency stats like yards per carry. But if you look at yards per carry against expected, and his expected was really high, he was well below average in that department. He was below average after contact. He was poor in catch rate and yards per target in the passing game, and he had like 50 targets, so it was a decent sample. So I don't know. I'm a little surprised by the hype here. I think it's essentially fading Miles Sanders and going to get the next guy, which to an extent I understand, but this is a guy that's never. I don't think he's ever going to be a feature back. He's never played more than 40% of the snaps three times. He has five career finishes better than RB38, or obviously in his first season. So I don't know. I'm just not. There's a lot of Gainwell hype out there. I'm much lower on him than the consensus.
I think sometimes with this preseason hype, it's not so much what does it mean about the player who is being hyped up, but does it come at the cost of somebody else? Like, does this impact or influence your ranking of Miles Sanders? And it does not for me. Mike laid out most of the indicators that have me a little bit off the scent of Kenneth Gainwell. Just bottom line is that he's what, like 170 pounds, right? Like, is he ever going to be a featured back? Like, he might have games where he ends up with 8 to 10 touches, but there might be plenty of games where he literally has two receiving targets, zero catches, and zero rushes.
That's part of what feels so weird is how many third down pass catching backs are also the team's goal line backs. Like, these two things just feel like conflicting ideologies of what they're saying Kenneth Gainwell is going to be here potentially.
Yeah, so. I just think I'm assuming in camp it's going to work the same way it would in the game, where he gets a series, and if Sanders needs to play off and they're at the goal line, Gainwell will still come in, right? That's not uncommon. You see third down backs, you know, take a draw and score a touchdown. It happens. You know, James White's done that, for example. You see it sometimes.
JD
McKissick's done it.
Sure.
So I'm not, again, it's just, we already had him projected to have a 100 plus touches, right? He's already going to play a role behind Sanders. We already knew that.
Yep. All right. It's time, guys.
I'm mad about this one.
I hear it, Mike Clay. Get mad about something else. We're going to talk about Chiefs Raiders.
Double trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Look at that.
Look at all of those names on that screen to talk about. Guys, there are so many people that are fantasy relevant from these two teams.
Hate to do this, but just Kyle texted me that Kenneth Gainwell was listed at 200 pounds. So I just shorted him 30 pounds.
Wow.
My bad, Kenny
Yikes.
G. But still.
I thought he was somewhere in the middle of that. But nonetheless, always
not
been
exactly Derrick
Henry.
Always
been a situational. But yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And I think the first conversation is with the loss of Tyreek Hill and everything that this Chiefs offense is centered around, which is Patrick Mahomes, Field Yates. How does Patrick Mahomes' fantasy value change with the loss of Tyreek Hill heading into 2022, if any at all?
I would say that losing Tyreek Hill does not make you a better fantasy quarterback under any circumstances. Tyreek Hill is really, really, really special. But I'm more focused on the fact that Patrick Mahomes is like a potentially transcendent generational talent at the quarterback spot. And there is only four games in his career in which he has not had Tyreek Hill on the field. Here are those four games in terms of passing yards only.
Okay.
443.
That's a lot.
374.
That's a lot.
315. 321. Mike Clay is the godfather of telling me the things like regression and sample size matter. So I'm mindful of the fact that it's only been four games. But if you asked me today, if I were to build a franchise tomorrow and pick a quarterback who I would start it with, I'd probably give you this answer. Patrick Mahomes. He's unbelievable. He has more games in his career with 30-plus fantasy points than he does games in his career with single-digit fantasy points. He is literally more likely to have a week that some quarterbacks are not going to have at all this season in any given week than a single-digit game. The floor is immensely high. The ceiling's immensely high. And I have enough trust in this Chiefs offense that we'll talk about the options at wide receiver to replace Tyreek Hill. But they're going to find a way. They're going to find a way to average close to 30 total points per game. I think Patrick Mahomes is still good to have somewhere between 22 and 24 fantasy points a game again this season.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I'm not going to say anything negative here about Patrick Mahomes. To your point, probably or arguably the best player in the National Football League. Last year, we saw defenses make a major adjustment against him, right? Running so many deep safeties. We saw a ton of cover two against them. Just a massive amount. It wasn't even close to the next closest team in the NFL. He gave him the ultimate amount of respect. And what did he do? Well, he still was QB5 on a points per game basis, which, by the way, his second worst season of his career. He was still through 37-plus passing touchdowns. He was still top six in attempts, completions, yards, and touchdowns. And he had a career-high 381 rushing yards. So he took advantage of fewer players in the box and around the line and ran the ball more often. This is an Andy Reid offense. It's super pass-heavy. They have a terrific offensive line. Yes, he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. Still has a lot going his way. I'm not worried at all. He's my QB2. He's been all offseason. It's Allen. It's Mahomes. I know some people have Herbert up there. Even Lamar Jackson. I'll take Mahomes, too.
All right. Easy to be able to say that, I feel like. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, easy, the number two quarterback. And we've talked about it. Please feel free to go back and watch some of the other shows we did. How early do you take a quarterback here? How early do you feel comfortable taking Patrick Mahomes? That's another question that we have. Something that you want to look at, but definitely a guy that you know that Patrick Mahomes is going to turn it on again this year.
And by the way, to answer that, I'm not a big on going early on quarterbacks. If he fell a little bit past his ADP, then I'm thinking about it depending on what's on the board. But usually I'm waiting a little longer. Like we talked about Aaron Rodgers, you can get him, what, 5 rounds later?
At least.
Happy to do that. But again, if you're taking Mahomes, I have no major problem with it. You know he's going to deliver.
Yeah, you can get Derek Carr like 10 rounds later. All right, so let's talk about expectations for CEH Field as we talk about everything within this passing offense. Really quickly want to touch on the running game because Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been tough for fantasy managers over the last 2 years. And I just don't know what Clyde Edwards-Helaire's role is in this offense if he's either not the pass-catching guy or the goal line back, and he doesn't seem to be either one of them. So how do you suss out what you're doing with CEH this year?
Let's start with the baseline of last season. Last year, he had 0 games with more than 3 catches. He had 1 game with more than 15 carries. His longest carry last season was how long? 17 yards.
Wow.
He had 3 games with 5-plus catches in 2020. That was good, okay? Last year, the receiving regressed. He had 5 goal-to-go touches last season for the entire year. 5 goal-to-go cut touches. If we're looking at a running back in fantasy, a guy that we think can be a weekly starter, usually it falls into one of these few categories. Guy that could rush for 150 yards any week. Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Jonathan Taylor amongst those guys. Yep. A guy that could have between 5 and 8 catches any single week. Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, Alvin Kamara, you name it, right? Yep. Those guys, all part of it. A guy that's going to have some combination of those two, that maybe it's an Aaron Jones type player, right? Or a guy that's just a dominant touchdown scorer. Last year's Damian Harris. Last year, we've seen LeGarrette Blount, James Conner, right? Yep. Which of those is Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
None of them. He's none of them.
So I think if you are believing in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because I think he's one of the most confusing players in fantasy this year, because he was one of my favorite prospects coming out of the draft a couple of years ago. I love the guy. He seemed like the idyllic fit in this Chiefs offense. But if you're targeting Clyde Edwards-Helaire, what is the rationale for doing so, Mike, other than hoping the Chiefs adjust the way that he's utilized?
Yeah, you know, it is still his third season. He's still very young. And I think the case for him is he's still the best running back, probably, on one of the best offenses in the NFL. Like, I mean, there's reports Ronald Jones, not necessarily a lock to make the 53. I think he'll make it, but
I think he will, too.
You know, not necessarily a guaranteed threat, right? He didn't work out in Tampa Bay, obviously. Jerick McKinnon is 30 years old and more of a situational back, though he did outsnap CEH in the playoffs big time. We're going to talk about Isaac Pacheco, the rookie, here in a second. But CEH could come out healthy, just kind of be the lead back and get 15 touches a game in an elite offense behind an elite offensive line.
I think that's part of it. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the fact that NFL Network's James Palmer reports that Isaiah Pacheco, who is their seventh round rookie running back, has had some run with the ones again in training camp on Sunday. The idea that this seventh rounder is getting run with the ones over CEH, is that crazy to me? Am I reading into that too much? Because that feels very...
I think it just reinforces what I'm trying to get at, which is that if you believe, or the Chiefs were giving us reason to believe, that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to become a workhorse back, either in terms of carries, receptions, or both, then you would feel much better about drafting him.
Yeah.
The only reason why I have him at RB29 is just the concept that if you're the number one running back on the Chiefs, even if it's like by a slight edge, the possibility exists that crazy things could happen because it's the Chiefs offense. But the thesis coming into the NFL for Clyde Edwards-Helaire was, hey, even if he doesn't get elite passing game usage or elite carry usage, he's going to fall in the end zone 10 times per year because the Chiefs are going to score 40 touchdowns, 45, 50 touchdowns, more than that, whatever, 55 touchdowns in a given season, right? That's not happening. Like, that hasn't happened yet. So I'm very on the fence, if you couldn't tell. And when I say on the fence, I mean, I'll take any player at a certain round. But he's a very low target and priority for me this year.
Right, but at RB29, I mean, being, you know, a guy that's that polarizing is fine to take at that spot, especially if you wait at your second running back spot, right? Say you go like hero running back, right? You take one running back and then you're attacking receiver. Maybe you take a Mark Andrews, something like that. And you're like, you know what? I need a little bit of a dart throw here. You know, I'm going to go with CEH, and if he gets 15 touches a game, that could work out in a big way. Maybe he makes the year three leap. So I still think there's hope for him. I get the concern we have him ranked. But again, where we have him ranked, you're not really drafting him to be your RB2 every week, right?
No,
more
you're
of a
not.
Flex option. And I think I'm probably a little more optimistic about his upside, I guess.
Even at running back 29, and he's really not a weekly flex option with where you're ranking him. But if things get put together, any running back in that high scoring offense could be useful.
I don't want to speak out of both sides of my mouth. I want to add this context, though, because I do think it's fair to defend the player in when you do have a counterpoint, and I'll make a counterpoint to my own argument. He got sick right before the season last year and lost a bunch of weight. And I don't know that he was at any point last year really 100%. Maybe that helps, but I'm not optimistic.
Sure. All right. Let's talk about these pass catchers because this is the part that I'm excited about. Juju Smith-Schuster coming over right now seems to be the number one in this Chiefs offense just from a de facto perspective. Three of Juju Smith-Schuster's last five seasons, he has finished as wide receiver 20 or higher. Mm. What is his upside here in this Chiefs offense?
I think his upside's massive, right? I mean, if he's his old self, he's still 25 years old, right? Yeah. And if he emerges as Patrick Mahomes' favorite target and sees a 20% target share, which isn't terribly off where Tyreek Hill has been a lot of the last few seasons, he could finish top 10 again. I mean, he's done it before. We've seen him have a huge season when he was, 20 years old? He had a huge season. And, you know, we've talked about this. The last couple of years, you wonder how much of his lack of success was quarterback related in Pittsburgh, right? I mean, even Deontay Johnson's efficiency was not very good, but he had a lot of volume. Same kind of thing with Juju. His average depth of target was down. His YPA was down. Maybe going to this high scoring, pass heavy Chiefs offense is the recipe he needs to turn it around. The only drawback really is a lot of people are viewing him as the number one.
Yeah.
And have seen it, you know, his resume earlier in his career and are drafting him as such. He's the first receiver drafted here. And he's not a sure thing, so it's easy to kind of pivot off that and maybe go another direction.
But I don't mind the price, though, right? Currently, it's wide receiver 30, somewhere around the ninth round. So I am okay of being a part of the wave. Mm-hmm. I think with the Chiefs, we all agree. Well, I would imagine that most of us feel as though it's unlikely that somebody has a Tyreek Hill-level role in this offense, both in terms of usage and also output, right? Is that stat? We can agree on that?
Agreed.
Fair, okay. But I also think we believe that there is an opportunity for somebody to crack like the top 20 of wide receivers, even if not cracking the top five of wide receivers. And I think that what you have to do, and this kind of reminds me of the Packers conversation, you kind of have to decide on one and be that player is the one that you are believing in the most as the most likely to achieve that potential top 20 status. And there are stats you could use to back up the Juju Smith-Schuster argument. The fact that he did have an 111 catch season a few years ago. He was the Pittsburgh Steelers team MVP during a year in which Antonio Brown was still on the roster. Like, I think it just comes down to this. I have watched at the professional level Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Mecole Hardman. I have not yet at the professional level watched, of course, Sky Moore because he's a rookie. But of those three veterans, the guy that I have seen look like the best, most consistent player is Juju Smith-Schuster. And the fact that he was not utilized down the field much in recent seasons did not necessarily help his big play potential, but it does help for potential efficiency, because if you're going to get 125 targets from Patrick Mahomes, I don't care if your ADOT is minus 25, we'll take those catches.
I think to your point, for me, one of the things I'm thinking about, you mentioned that season where he had 111 catches. That was the same year. Antonio Brown had 104 catches for 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns. That's a thing. I mean, Travis Kelce could put those numbers together, and we watched how Juju Smith-Schuster still put up great numbers there. I'm curious, though, as a part of that field, you talk about this. 35% target share with both Tyreek Hill and Byron Pringle leaving, 219 targets. We assume Juju is going to get a lot of that. But we also, there's a lot of other wide receivers now here in this offense, Mike, and I'm curious, not only with Juju Smith-Schuster, is there another pass catcher behind Juju that you think is worth rostering, or who is your favorite non-Juju Smith-Schuster wide receiver here in Kansas City?
Right, so it is Sky Moore to answer that question. I'll get into it in a second, but we just had a graphic, if you're watching the video, and it's the ADP of these four guys, right? These four receivers we're talking about.
Yeah.
And none of those, like when you draft a guy, especially after the first few rounds, you don't want to say, yeah, this is probably a ceiling, right? None of these guys, I feel like, are at their ceiling, right? So you could feel good really taking any of these guys.
Juju's at wide receiver 30 is his ADP. Sky right. Moore is wide receiver 50 for those that aren't able to watch. Mecole Hardman is wide receiver 56 is his ADP. And MVS is wide receiver 59.
Right. Any of those could blow those out of the water. Any of these guys could be wide receiver threes this season. Juju certainly higher than that. But, you know, the guy from that list aside of Smith-Schuster that I would take is Sky Moore, right? A little bit of the excitement of the unknown. He's a second round pick. The NFL, as far as second round receivers go in the NFL the last decade, it's been pretty good. We've had a lot of home run picks, and Moore is very good. Super high volume at Western Michigan. Very high adjusted catch rate. He was extremely efficient. Four drops on 256 targets.
Wow.
At Western Michigan. Awesome. By all accounts, camp reports are good. He's not listed with the starters on their unofficial depth chart. Not uncommon for rookies. Not worried about that. MVS and Smith-Schuster are. I think he's the guy that has the highest ceiling behind Smith-Schuster here.
I don't really want to make the case for Marquez Valdez-Scantling, but I just will do so because I am intrigued by the fact that he got a three-year, $30 million contract from the Chiefs. We all know that he played with Aaron Rodgers. If Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers is not far behind. If you couldn't get the job done with Aaron Rodgers consistently, I don't know that there's necessarily a strong case as to why you are guaranteed to succeed elsewhere, right? He played in a really good offense with a really great quarterback. That being said, perhaps the Chiefs are a bit more committed to him. He was more of a role player in Green Bay than I think a $10 million per year contract would suggest in Kansas City. And the good thing about Marquez Valdez-Scantling is that if that role increases, he has a really lethal skill that could be good. He could be Will Fuller, right? He is an awesome down the field threat. Yeah. He led the NFL in average depth of target last year. He's one of the elite deep ball receivers in the NFL, and I'm thinking about Will Fuller during like his heyday with the Texans, right, where you had to live with the occasional two catch 34 yard effort, but it might be sandwiched by five catches, 100 yards and a touchdown. And by the way, a week after that, 157 yards, right, and two touchdowns. So that would be absolute best case scenario. I'm not totally optimistic it will happen, but in the context of late round picks, wide receiver 59, good things could happen when you play with Patrick Mahomes.
Maybe DFS tournament play, yeah, right?
For those who are playing best ball, these are the ideal targets you're looking for.
By the way, I think you expect like Smith-Schuster and Sky Moore to be more the high volume targets. You have MVS as the lid lifter on the perimeter, right? And then, of course, Mecole Hardman. Actually, since he entered the NFL, second in yards after the catch behind Deebo Samuel. Yeah. Like, he's been effective in that elusive role. Yeah. Probably plays a similar role going forward, maybe involved a little bit on returns as well.
All right, last one here to talk about field. It's the man. It's the guy that has been the king at the tight end position for what feels like the last decade. He turns 33 this year, which is my only concern. How do you feel about Travis Kelce? And is he still someone that you can take in the first round of your fantasy draft?
I would make the case, once again, that Travis Kelce is the safest player in fantasy football and perhaps the most consistent player in fantasy football. Over the past six seasons, I'm going to give you a list of every single player in the NFL that has at least 80 catches.
I love these lists.
Travis Kelce.
Okay.
That's it. I'm going to give you a list of every player over the past six seasons that has at least 1,000 receiving yards in each of those seasons.
Okay.
Mike Evans, and Travis Kelce. Mm. That's the list.
They're good
the
players.
Floor has been set. By the way, over those past six seasons, Travis Kelce has at least 9 receiving touchdowns in half of those 6 seasons. This is an unbelievable cyborg at the tight end position that I'm not sure we appreciate enough. Last year was considered, by the own standard that he has set the previous 5 years, a down year for Travis Kelce. Yeah. If you go look at his production relative to the prior 5 years, a quote-unquote, I'm using air quotes here, down season. He was still the 14th highest non-quarterback in terms of fantasy points last year. He does not miss time. I am not concerned about the age, not for 2022. The Chiefs aren't either. They recently just gave him a pay raise for this year to embolden their stance that he is a focal point of everything that they do. And he has been massively targeted over the past 6 seasons. That number could go up because they traded away Tyreek Hill. I am all in on Travis Kelce. Once again, I think he merits back end of first round conversation.
Yeah, look, love Kelce, elite player, fine with him at the end of round 2. The only problem is he's going early in the second round. So I just haven't drafted him. I wouldn't go that far just because we did see a little bit of a slip last year, right? Low catch rate, yards per target share, end zone targets. He only had 4 of those. Everything kind of slipped a little bit. Do we expect that to bounce back? Maybe.
I do,
Maybe they do. At age 33, I'm not so sure. The Chiefs also have, by as we'll get to in a second, the hardest schedule in the NFL this season, which I could mean throwing, I guess. It certainly could. But does his target share go up in his age 33 season? I'm not so sure about that. But again, I'm being picky here, right? Still a mid-range, maybe back-end round 2 target. I prefer Mark Andrews. I do. Martin is prime and obviously outscored Kelce easily last season. I would lean that direction. But again, I'm being picky here. Yeah. Kelsey's still a premier fantasy asset.
Let me reiterate. I'm okay with him back end of round 1. Like, it's ahead of where his ADP is.
That's a little higher
than
me.
I'm being clear. Yeah. Like, I feel that way because on top of all the production that we were talking about, the positional edge that you're going to gain, right?
Yep.
There are 2 tight ends that we think are in kind of maybe 3 tight ends that are in like a super elite tier, but that bottom drops out really quickly. And you have Travis Kelce and your opponent has, you know, Noah Fant or Albert Aquabanam as their starting tight end. You could be looking at a weekly edge that is somewhere in like 12 or 14 points in a given week.
I feel like Travis Kelce, and hear me out on this because it might take a minute to get there, but Travis Kelce is like the Tom Brady of the tight end position in the fact that there are a lot of people that I feel like have been waiting for Tom Brady to be able to fail as he has gotten older. And people just keep buying and keep buying and keep buying, and he hasn't let people down yet. And I feel like with Travis Kelce at this position, we're starting to get to that point where if you're buying here in the age 33 season, you're saying, I'm going to go against what seems like it would make sense. And people did that the last 2 years with Tom Brady. I feel like that's been continuing to happen. And right now, it's tough to be able to say that you don't trust Travis Kelce when you've just seen what he's done over the last 10 years and what he's going to probably continue to do. All of the things aside that you have said, Mike, I totally understand all of that. He's still going to be, I think, the number one focal point in this office.
That's almost like another quarterback that's been good year, every year, every year. And then you guys are just calling him a bust this year. Aaron Rodgers, kind of like that. Is what you mean?
Like, yeah, it's similar. Like, I guess it's
kind of like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of. Maybe
my earpiece just fell out. What did Mike say?
Oh, yeah. Nothing that you needed to worry about.
Okay.
Caesars has the Chiefs at 10.5 wins, guys. I'm curious. 10.5 in the AFC West is a tough division.
Give me the over.
I have them at 10.1. They have the hardest schedule in the NFL. It's hard to imagine them not getting to 11 wins, which bothers me a little bit, but that division is tough and it could happen. You know, a slow start. Maybe they're, you know, at the tough slate, 2-4 or something. It takes a while to get back to 11 wins. So I'm not going to bet this one. I wouldn't bet it. I would fade it. But if I had to pick away, I'm going under.
Watch Daily Wager with our friends Doug Kazeri, Tyra Fulgham, Joe Fortenbaugh, Aaron Dolan, Mike Clay,
Anita Marks.
Great crew.
I'm taking the over.
Thank you, Daniel.
I'm going to do it.
Too easy.
You want to hand that over to Field?
Lions 10-6-1 this year.
We'll That's right. That's the only reason why.
That's why.
That's right.
All right. We'll come back and talk about the Raiders in just a second. But first, when it comes to choosing the top running back, wide receiver, quarterback, even which defense is right for your team on any given week, you know where to turn. But when you're trying to decide on the right credit card for your wallet, the right mortgage lender for your dream home, or the right savings account, where do you go? The nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you make a smart financial decision. NerdWallet is a personal finance site run by money nerds. Think people as obsessed about personal finance as we are about fantasy sports, who want to share their knowledge with our listeners to help them find the right financial products for them. Let's say you're looking for a new rewards credit card. NerdWallet can help you compare cashback cards side by side, so you can feel confident choosing the one that suits your spending. Think of them like your weekly wide receiver PPR rankings, but you're comparing the top credit cards that work for you. Ready to make a financial decision? Compare and find top credit cards, savings accounts, and more at NerdWallet.com. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. NerdWallet Compare Inc. and MLS 1617539. NerdWallet is not an investment advisor nor an investment broker. Information is for educational purposes only.
Daniel, time's yours.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
How would you?
Well, of course you would. Mm. And after all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could even save more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, yeah, the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways that you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and see how getting started is so easy and could save you so much money. That's geico.com. All right, it's time. Mike, I'm going to give you one more shot. One more shot. You want to do it? This is going to make up for the first Raiders one that you did. You ready?
I don't think you're going to like it. Oh, okay.
Okay, one more.
The Raiders.
That was a little better. That was better.
Sounded a little tougher.
It was.
Not really. Yeah. To nail it. Like, I need Chris Berman to step in for me.
Mike, you have a lot of skills.
That's not one of them.
I didn't say it. You did.
I said it. I'm very self-aware of my strengths and weaknesses.
So. We are going through, Field, just so you know.
My Derek Carr evaluation.
Yeah, like strength. Your Derek Carr evaluation. Yeah. He's got a lot of strengths. I'm going through right now, my girlfriend Rosie and I quiz her on a bunch of the teams in the NFL, like on players and stuff like that.
Like she's who is the biggest more. Thighs? Who is
yeah, that one. Yeah. And I was like, what team does Derek Carr play for? And she was like,
Texans?
No. Like the Black Pirates? And I was like, all right. I was like, what about Kyler Murray? And she was like, I think he's either the Redbirds or the Purplebirds. I don't remember which one it is. So now, like, every teammate.
I thought you were gonna say FaZe, which would have been hilarious.
It's just
right?
Like every team is like
a for the FaZe.
That'd be so good.
There's a video. Do you ever see the guy just showing his dad the logos? And the dad was just
like saying what
guessing
they are.
A team name. It's hilarious. So they do it for like all 32 teams.
I love it.
That's out there on social somewhere.
That being said, I am in on the Raiders this year. They are going to score a ton of points. They are in the best division in football field. We talked about Derek Carr yesterday as one of our sleepers. Yeah. I'm just going to hand it off to you. Are you comfortable with Derek Carr as your starting quarterback in a 10-team league?
Yeah, I actually am. And I would make the case that there are actually 15 quarterbacks this year that I am comfortable leaving a draft with in a 10-team league. I know that sounds a little bit counterintuitive, but there are 15 of them. Derek Carr is quarterback 14, so he is 14 on my list of those 15. The case I made yesterday was pretty straightforward. I'll reiterate it for those that maybe missed the show, is that last year, he finished top five in the NFL in passing yards. He led the NFL in passing yards two-thirds of the way through the season and had just 23 passing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That did not include a single player inside the top 20 of receiving yards. They're going to have to pass it a lot because of the division that they play in. And now you have Davante Adams, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfro. There is at least a case for them having the best 1-2-3 punch amongst pass catchers in the NFL. I think Derek Carr is very good. Wouldn't surprise me if he has 5,000 passing yards this season.
Yes, but here's the thing, and I said this yesterday, right? Top five in attempts, completions, yards. Still didn't have his first career top 10 fantasy season, right? So he's just not an asset with his legs. That's not going to change, right? He's career high 140 rushing yards. He has 6 rushing touchdowns in 8 seasons. That's always going to limit him to some extent in fantasy, even if he puts up big passing stats. And that's my concern. Can he finish QB 10 or 11, maybe 9? Sure, but I just feel like that's a ceiling, right? That's a ceiling. He's a back end QB 1 at best. And so it's funny. We both have him ranked QB 14, right? So best case, you know, he's like a good QB 2. But I guess the tier is different for me, right? Like, I think there's more of a drop off after your top 10 or 12 guys to Derek Carr. So I'm not as I'm not as high on him. I just worry about the ceiling from a fantasy perspective. Like him as a player, he's underrated as a player, but in fantasy, the ceiling's not there for me.
I would just say that, that kind of comes back to what we discussed yesterday, is that like, even if you have Aaron Rodgers as a quote-unquote perceived bust, like, what's the floor for him? It's still like quarterback 13, right? So like a sleeper for a quarterback in Derek Carr, it's not like I think he's going to be drafted as quarterback 15 and will finish as quarterback 4, but if he creeps inside that top 10, which I think is viable, finishing as quarterback 8 still makes him a tremendous value.
Absolutely. I think that too. You want to fight some more?
Yeah,
you want to fight some more?
Go ahead, Mike.
To reiterate, one of us has been blocked by Derek Carr on Twitter.
I mean, I've been right, though. I mean, wow. I'm just saying, he's never been top 10. He has never been top 10. Wow. That's why I would take Aaron Rodgers. Look, in like best ball, 12-team best balls right now, they are going in essentially the same round. They're both going like the 8th to 9th round, both of them with Trey Lance. For me, that makes no sense at all. Aaron Rodgers was QB5 last year. We know he has top 5 upside. Derek Carr does not, I don't think anyway, unless something changes, or maybe he will throw 47 touchdowns and I'll look foolish, but I just don't think that's a realistic way to attack him in drafts. I just don't.
Wow. Can I ask you a realistic way to attack this Raiders running back room in drafts? Because they're another, honestly, this committee here with Josh, doesn't mean anything. Yeah. But when was the last time, can you tell me the last player that played in a Hall of Fame game that was like a top 20 player in fantasy?
Well, I mean, again,
I can't. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to it. Do you know the answer
to
it? I said this when we recap that game. I'm not too worried about it because we're so far off from week one. And we don't even know if he's going to play this weekend, next weekend. Yeah. You know, they used all 5 backs, or all 4 backs, I guess, that are going to probably play a big role. He was number 1 in line. He got 2 series. Then they rotated on. It's not like they had Zamir White not play or Kenyon Drake not play, right? They all got run. I think Kenyon Drake was playing in the third quarter. I just, I want Jacob's ADP to keep falling because I think at some point he's going to be a value. Yeah. And I don't think he's costing you a lot right now. We're already discounting him for the change in scheme. I think he's, again, if you're watching the video here, you're seeing the other backs in this backfield. Zamir White, a rookie. Kenyon Drake, Amir Abdullah. Jacobs is the best back there. He's first round pedigree. He's 25 years old. I think he can get 15 plus touches. I think he could be the primary goal line back in a high scoring offense. I still think if his ADP keeps falling, he's going to continue to be a fine value, a fine target in drafts.
Yeah, so it's a tough one for me because I was a little bit more concerned about the fact that he was playing in the Hall of Fame game and the fact that this team did use a pick, even if it was a fifth round pick on Zamir White?
Maybe fourth. Maybe I think it was fourth.
A day 3 pick on Zamir White. But the fact that they did bring in Brandon Bolden, someone who Josh McDaniels loves and will have a role in this offense.
Wait, I forgot about that. No, I mean,
not a major one, but he's going to play.
Yeah.
Like, and probably take away an annoying amount of opportunities from somebody else, right? He's a rock solid player. I'm just saying, as far as fantasy is concerned, you'd love for all the opportunities to go to Josh Jacobs. So I've kind of level set with him as a low end RB2 for right now. And he is a player that I am going to, I am on the ready to make an adjustment to my Josh Jacobs ranking, depending on what takes place over the next few weeks, both
in terms of
utilization in the preseason, whether he plays, whether he doesn't play, and if a trade is possible, even though Josh McDaniels suggested recently a trade is not in play for Josh Jacobs. You have to place him somewhere. And for now, even with a different head coach and a deeper backfield, I'm going to bet on the possibility of him having a comparable role to recent seasons. And last year, in that role that he had, here's the good news. You didn't get elite production very often, but you didn't get doo-doo production either.
Yeah.
In 15 games last year, he had 1 top 10 finish, and he had 12 top 11 to 30 finishes, only 2 weeks outside the top 30. So, like, you're okay with a guy that in 13 out of 15 weeks last year was a top 30 running back play. So that's where I've level set for now on Josh Jacobs, but he has my attention.
I feel differently. I'm mostly avoiding Josh Jacobs in part because of the fact that is like, I'm trying to figure out what the upside is here with all the running backs that are in play in this offense. Like we've talked about, he's not a guy that I see as this explosive runner. He doesn't have these big plays. His last 30 yard touch in a regular season game, 30 yards, which isn't even crazy, happened in week 13 of 2019. He's just not a big play guy waiting to happen. For me, I would rather wait a little bit later and find somebody else in this offense. I understand all the things that you are saying, but I cannot imagine if Saquon Barkley played in the Hall of Fame game. I cannot imagine if David Montgomery played in the Hall of Fame game. The idea that like you are putting your starting running back out there on the very first meaningless preseason game just is such a
Hey, we'll see what it means. But to me, that seems so crazy.
I don't know. I don't know. That just doesn't bother me that much. It's a new scheme. You know, I don't know. That doesn't bother me yet.
People get hurt so easily on that field.
Right from my Mike Clay joke of the day. If the Giants played in the Hall of Fame game and Dave Gettleman was still their GM, would he make Saquon play as a precursor to his eventual induction?
Probably.
Didn't he call him a Hall of Fame player the minute they drafted him?
I think so.
Yeah, that was my Mike Clay dad joke of the day.
Yeah, I'm gonna slowly leave that whole Judge Gettleman thing alone.
We're gonna go. All right, let's talk.
That's
about
for a topic here. For another day.
We'll move on from running backs field. How much does Davante Adams moving from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr affect his fantasy value here?
Oh, I moved him down three slots from where he was last year going into the season.
Was he wide receiver one to wide receiver four?
And listen, it's pretty evident that there are two things that are in play here, and I think everybody's discussed them many, many times over. Aaron Rodgers, a superior overall player to Derek Carr, even though I think Derek Carr is awesome. Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest to ever do it. Second thing here is that Davante Adams' closest competition for targets in recent years has been guys that were very much inconsistent fringe players in different rosters. Alan Lazard, Marquez Valdez, Scantlings, guys like that, right? Now he's got competition, and maybe there might be some benefit to this competition, Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow. So I think that the fact that there are two guys who are going to take a larger target share than anybody that Davante has played with in recent years is notable. But I also think it does help him a little bit. There was that famous picture I remember tweeting last year of a pre-snap look from the Baltimore Ravens where they literally had three players in succession, 1, 2, 3, lined up opposite of Davante Adams because they gave him that much respect and there were no other threatening targets on that Packers offense. So I think there'd be some better looks, which is why it was hard for me to push him any further down my board than wide receiver four.
Yeah, I agree. I think you laid it out very well. And, you know, I basically can summarize all you said in it with a few things that I was going to point out. Less passing in this offense, most likely, compared to a pass-heavy Packers offense. Less scoring. They're probably not going to match where the Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams offense was. Worst quarterback. I mean, Derek Carr, very underrated, not Aaron Rodgers. Lower target share. He's been in the 97th percentile the last 4 years. That's going to be hard to sustain a number that high. And he's 29 years old, right? You don't expect him really to... A slight drop off would be expected, right? At that age, as you start to get a little bit past your prime. So that's enough for me to knock him off the elite and like that top tier. We don't have him in the big three, but is he still a mid-range QB1? Yes, I agree with you.
Is he still a first rounder? The guy you take at the turn?
Fringe.
Really? Fringe first rounder?
I'd say. It's not a guy I'm going out of my way to get, but if he's there and I want to get a receiver.
Late first, early second.
Probably early second round, I'm going.
It's
going
to sound counterintuitive again, but earlier I said there are 15 quarterbacks that I view as starters in 10-team leagues. There are between 15 and 17 players that I view as viable first round picks that if somebody took them at the end of the first round, even like Stephon Diggs, who is lower on all of our boards amongst wide receivers, if he goes 10, I'm not going to be like, you took an awesome player who has Josh Allen as his quarterback. Yeah. Wow, how dare you?
Yeah.
Davante Adams also in that mix.
That's fair. All right, Mike, I want to ask you about Hunter Renfrow now because we watched Hunter Renfrow come on last year, especially without Davante Adams being in the picture. 21.4% target share, up from 17.6% the year before. We loved being able to see him mature and grow into the player that he became last year. Does that continue, or has he sort of capped his ceiling with the addition of Davante Adams here?
Yeah, so look, he was a top 13, top 15 fantasy wide receiver last season, and they added, obviously, Adams, Waller's healthy, new scheme here, and we have him ranked. I have him 31st. His ADP's 32nd, right? We're all kind of in the same vicinity. Feels a little higher. We've already kind of knocked him for those changes, right? And I think he's fine where we have him. He's going to be a short-range, somewhat high-volume target, right? I think he still has a really good connection with Derek Carr. He's very reliable. His efficiency is outstanding. Catch rate, yards after the catch. But he's not going to, I don't think he'll score a ton of touchdowns. That number will probably come down a little bit. I have him at 6, and he's not going to do a lot downfield. They don't need him in that department. So it's going to limit his ceiling a little bit, but in PPR, he'll be fine. I think he's a wide receiver 3.
I have him at 27 right now on my wide receiver board. I was actually higher not that long ago, and I decided to just take a little step back here only because of some of the factors that Mike just relayed. But there's a case for him to be higher in the wide receiver ranks. I think the prevailing thought for me is that Hunter Renfrow is just awesome at football. Mm-hmm. He's an incredible route runner. As Mike mentioned, extremely reliable target. Josh McDaniels has had a history with wide receivers playing out of the slot to great effect. 100-plus catches were a reality for Wes Welker for several years, and then Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola had rock solid, not as solid as those two other guys, but really good seasons. wouldn't stun me at all. And he's a good insurance policy in the event that Darren Waller, who in recent years has dealt with injury issues, specifically last year, if he's out, we saw what happens with Hunter Renfrow. Even if Devontae Adams is your wide receiver one, you could have two guys pacing inside the top 15 amongst wide receivers.
And by the way, if you adjust for target location and look at like catch rate over expected, yards per target over expected, Renfrow's numbers almost identical to Devontae Adams over since he's been in the league. Crazy. I mean, he is really, really effective. He's just a good player.
I'm fearful. I am fearful of what happened with 27 being too low on Hunter Renfrow. Does not miss time either. So maybe it'll be one of those where the, like, I think the weekly ceiling is tapped relative to other guys who are ahead of him. But depending on how you build your roster, if you take a swing on, and like on someone as an example, like DK Metcalf, this might be a nice guy to have on your roster as your wide receiver three, your flex option, because you might have to live with a DK Metcalf or a Mike Williams boom week offset by a bust week.
That's the classic. Choose the NFL player in this photo and you put up Hunter Renfrow and DK Metcalf. And it's like, surprise, they're both NFL players, guys. Yeah. That's what's so great about it. All right, let's talk about Hunter Renfrow. Let's talk about Darren Waller to close this thing out. Field.
Yep.
Darren Waller, right now, is he a value at his current ADP, given the fact that you talked about it? You already mentioned it when we talked about Travis Kelce. It feels like there's probably that top two or three with Kelce, Andrews, Pitts, and then we get into that Darren Waller spot. Do you think that he's a value with where he's currently being drafted in leagues?
I think he's an okay value. He's going in the sixth round, right, which is four and a half rounds later than Kelce and maybe even Mark Andrews in your draft. He's got a chance at 100 catches. I don't think that all three of these guys are going to have 100 catches, but it might be that Waller has 100, Devontae Adams 105, and Renfrow has 80, and I think that would be a successful season, by the way, for each of them. That's okay. Super talented guy, right? I mean, he's a former wide receiver who converted to tight end and did so to great effect. He is one of the best players, period, in the NFL. His health last year obviously impacted his play.
Yep.
But yeah, I think he's a fine value. Again, like this is towards the edge of where tight end play starts to really potentially fall off like the elite cliff. You get into a next tier of guys that include the likes of Dalton Schultz and TJ Hockenson, who I think are really, really solid plays. But in the sixth round, especially if you've already loaded up on those running backs and wide receivers, I think he's a fine value where he's at.
Yeah, I think he's fine where we have him. I mean, here's the thing. I have him tight end four. If the Raiders did not trade for Devontae Adams, I would probably still have him tight end four, right? I don't know that I would jump Kyle Pitts, right? So maybe you take him a few picks earlier. But I don't really like that tier where, you know, fifth, sixth round, George Kittle and Darren Waller kind of go together. You know, George Kittle obviously got a more, you know, quarterback change, kind of uncertain, more run-based offense, obviously, with Trey Lance there. And Waller got a lot of competition around him after he kind of disappeared after week one last season. He was just not scoring and was very underwhelming in fantasy. Now he has Adams in this offense. So he's fine where he's going. I think we have him properly ranked. I'm not really going out of my way to pick him.
Yeah, I don't have a super strong take on this one. I think he's going at a fine spot right now for Darren Waller, who the 2 years prior to last year was a bona fide rock star with less competition. Hunter Renfrow had not broken out to the degree they did last year, and obviously no Devontae Adams, but he also could benefit from those two guys, just like I made the case that Devontae Adams could. Darren Waller is going to have plenty of opportunities this year. I wonder if he'll get a contract soon, too. He has been absent from practice over the past few days, and not that teams are required to report injuries during training camp. I wonder if this is one of those hold-ins that we have seen throughout the NFL that has resulted in big deals. He certainly is worthy of a raise because if you look at his last contract, it is not near the top of the tight end market anymore.
Should we start a Darren Waller for Roquan Smith trade rumor right now? Should we do that?
Did you do that right now?
Should we just start? I'm hearing from sources.
You just did it.
My daughter reported that this morning. She's hearing that. So
the Raiders really quickly.
That would be spicy.
Raiders, 8.5 games from Caesars, over under 8.5. Mike Clay.
Man, this line is way off. I'm at 8.4.
Stop it.
Fourth hardest schedule in the league. It's just a tough conference. I mean, I have them finishing last in that division in what is going to be a really, really good division. It's not really a disrespect to them, but it's going to be tough to make the playoffs just with the competition in that division. So I have to lean under. Is the fourth place team in that division win 9 games?
It pains me to say this. I think the fourth place team wins 8 games.
Right, exactly.
They had a great run last year. They had 6 walk-off wins last season.
Yeah.
Right? If a couple of those coin flips go differently, we're talking about this team in a different light. I will go with 8 wins for the Raiders and take the under.
You both took the under?
Yeah.
I'm going to take the over.
Nice.
Let's go, Derek Carr, baby!
All right.
Please don't block me on Twitter. We're going to come back and do a couple more deep sleepers and late round flyers to close out the show. But first, Mike.
That's Miller Lite Mike.
That's right. Miller Lite Mike.
Get it right. Summer, my friends, is all about outdoor cookouts, meeting up with family, and determining the draft order of your fantasy football league. You know what that means? Plenty of Miller time. Yeah. The delicious taste of Miller Lite is what summer is all about, no matter what you're doing. And with just 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12-ounce serving, it's the perfect light beer to sip on all summer. In a world of endless scrolling through delivery options, you know what you're getting when you get Miller Lite. Beer! It's for those who actually want to taste their beer, because light beer should taste like beer, not water. This summer, have more fun with the Beer Lovers Light Beer, the great-tasting 96-calorie Miller Lite. There's nothing like that first sip of an ice-cold beer on a hot summer day. Well, maybe landing the first overall pick in your draft, but you get the idea. Miller time, for me, is whenever I'm around those I care about and doing the things I love most. So next time you're getting ready to enjoy cold ones with your crew, go to MillerLite.com/FFF to find delivery options near you, or you can pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere they sell beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
Wow. That was a solid
B minus, Mike Clay. Good
on,
for
that's
you, buddy.
An A plus.
That was a B plus
on,
there.
That's probably my best read ever.
A minus. That probably was your best read ever. Football fans. Seriously, you did a great job, man. Thank I love you. Football fans, join the next generation of fantasy football with Rainmakers Football, their first ever NFT fantasy game from DraftKings. It's the only NFT fantasy game licensed by the NFLPA. Now you can play all season for millions in prizes by building the ultimate NFT franchise. Right now, everyone can get their first full roster starter pack for free. For free. Playing Rainmakers is simple. Buy, sell, bid, and win player card NFTs of the biggest names in the game throughout regular drops and auctions on the DraftKings marketplace. Craft lineups of athletes from your NFT collection and earn points for touchdowns, receptions, and more, just like in daily fantasy football. Build your NFT franchise and enter free Rainmakers football contests all season long to compete for millions in prizes. The next generation of fantasy football is here, so download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now, sign up with the promo code FFF, click the Rainmakers tile, and opt in to get your first card free. Plus, play for millions in prizes all football season long, building the ultimate NFT fantasy franchise with Rainmakers Football. That's promo code FFF. Build, play, win only at DraftKings. Contest entries depend on number, type and number of NFTs held. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details. I didn't need that at the end. I was doing so well.
You were almost there, man. I was so excited, and then just you slipped up at the end. You blew it, right? You had a good route. You were down the field, wide open, one right through your hands.
Yeah, you blew it. By the way, one of my favorite bands out of Florida. Just a shout out to a band that I really love. You blew it. In case you're a fan, you blew it. All right. These deep sleepers are brought to you by Geico. Switch to Geico today and see all the ways that you could save. Field and Mike, we are talking about some deep sleepers or late round flyers. We did a bunch of them yesterday. These ones are deeper. These are a little bit more nuanced and in the weeds. So, Mike, I'm going to start with you. Okay. I'm going to get two more deep sleepers from you in case you didn't listen to yesterday's show. And if you didn't listen to yesterday's show, please go back and listen to it, because we have a ton of great information on sleepers, breakouts, and busts in there.
Yeah, here's a guy whose ADP could start to rise because reports are positive. Damian Pierce, a chance in this Houston offense to be their lead back. He was a fourth-round pick out of Florida, and the knock is he never had a lot of volume at Florida. A lot of people kind of blame the coaching there that he was misutilized. Never cleared 106 carries or 23 targets in a season, but when he got the ball, he was electric. He was hyper-efficient just across the board. Without getting too deep into the weeds, his stats are off the wall good. So can catch it, can run the ball effectively, and he is a path, obviously, to a big role with Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead there in that Houston backfield. So he's a guy to look at in the double-digit rounds. The other one is another rookie. I'm going to go Jahan Dotson here. Yeah, 16th overall pick in the draft. And again, I've talked about this before, these first-round receivers, even to an extent the second-round rookie receivers, not getting enough love in redraft this year. A 30% or higher target share in his final two seasons at Penn State. Super reliable. Efficiency was really good. And as Kyle pointed out, Carson Wentz's end zone completion percentage is 2017, higher than Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. He seems to deliver in that area. Kind of an interesting nugget there. So I'm going with Jahan Dotson again, available in round 12 or 13. Like him a lot.
Two quick ones. One I'm not totally certain on, but Tyler Allgeier, running back from the Atlanta Falcons. Somebody has to lead them in carries. And if Cordarrelle Patterson plays more wide receiver this year, which might be needed given their depth chart, I could see Allgeier having a reasonable load of carries on his plate. But that being said, I'm not sure this is going to be a high octane running game. And I don't know what kind of passing game value he adds, if any, but you're getting him for literally free. The more pertinent one, as far as I'm concerned, is Robbie Anderson, wide receiver 61 right now, going at the end of the 16th round, 159th overall. He was a top 30 player in terms of targets last year. When you look at all those players, one of them is not like the other. As the other 29 players in the top 30 for targets averaged 254 fantasy points per game. Robbie Anderson had 138.5. It was one of the least efficient seasons we have ever seen from a wide receiver, and I'm not convinced it was all on Robbie Anderson's plate. Quarterback play really, really, really bothered him, and Baker Mayfield, I believe, is better than Sam Darnold. And by the way, in games in which Christian McCaffrey has not played over the past couple of years, yes, Robbie Anderson has been targeted more. That's logical. But when CMC has been on the field, he's still getting six targets a game. Mm-hmm. You do the math. That's over 100 per year. I'm okay with that number for Robbie Anderson. He's literally free. Just before last season, the Panthers gave him a two-year, $29 million extension. I think a bounce-back season is in store.
Yep. I got a quarterback upgrade, big.
Absolutely. Two more really quick outside the top 150. Justin Fields, we've talked about this, Mike, the idea that if there's going to be a quarterback that is going to take that leap, he has a chance, and he's somebody that you were able to get really late in drafts. The guy that I really like, Joshua Palmer.
Yes, love it.
Joshua Palmer, the third wide receiver right now for the Los Angeles Chargers. In the two games when either Allen or Mike Williams were out last year, that was weeks 14 and 16, Joshua Palmer averaged 16.4 fantasy points per game in those 2 weeks. He is a guy that is going to be in line to be able to take advantage of whatever that offense is going to be. Super late. He's free. If anyone gets hurt, he should be in your starting lineup. Like, yes, Joshua Palmer.
Yeah, I was going to actually go with him, but you beat me to the punch.
I did,
He only played 60% or more of the snaps in three games last season. Scored a touchdown in all three games. Great Chargers offense. Good player.
So good.
Second year, former day two pick. I'm intrigued. Like him a lot.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. We're going to do more YouTube questions tomorrow. We're also going to talk about the other two teams in this division.
Speaking of the Chargers.
That's right, the Broncos and the Chargers. It's going to be a ton of fun. For Daniel and Mike, I'm Field. Wait, for Mike and Field, I'm Daniel. See you guys.
Man, what is going on?
I don't know.
You're starting strong and finishing poorly, like across the board.
It's like I've sort of taken on your role for what you usually do here.
Whoa. That's kind of weak. I was thinking like the Vikings, like the last couple of years, really competitive all through the game, and then last second just.
Thank you for saying Vikings and not the Lions.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact, every Yater's gonna Yate, cause he's on TV every day, a spicy tomato who's got the stats, and tweets that'll make you laugh, he's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name, he's Field Yates.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.